Reading from Isaiah chapter 35, 1 to 7, and we'll start at verse 1. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. So far this reading.
And then turn to Acts chapter 3. We're going through a series in the book of Acts, if you're visiting with us this morning. The first two chapters of the book of Acts. The first one was really a preparation for Pentecost. Last week we looked at Pentecost in chapter 2. And chapter 3 and 4 are really a kind of a unit together. But last week, a couple of people already made the comment that maybe the passage was a bit long. Maybe you tried to cover too much. And so if I'm going to cover chapter 3 and 4, it might be a bit over the top. But today we're looking at chapter 3. And there we have the lame man who's healed and Peter's subsequent sermon. And then next week, Lord willing, we'll look at the effects of that and the persecution that comes. And then later on, a church in prayer. So we're just looking at Acts chapter 3 now. Acts 3. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called Beautiful, the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, and as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate at the temple, asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to them. And while he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astonished, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us, as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and the Righteous One, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the Author of Life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, and thus he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshment may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed to you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, "The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet, shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaim these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, 'And in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed.' God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness." Let's pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, we pray that your word would again go forth powerfully, that it would not merely be a story about a lame man who could walk, but that this would be Jesus Christ speaking not only to the lame man, but to our hearts again this morning. O gracious God, work by your Holy Spirit, we pray. We are nothing without you, but with you in everything, with you and in you, we have all things good. Do great things among us this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. He went walking and leaping and praising God. I wonder if you've ever done that. Walking and leaping and praising God. If you broke it up, it probably wouldn't be too bad, you know. I mean, most of us have walked. And most of us have probably leapt every now and then, maybe while nobody else was looking. And most of us have praised God. But walking and leaping and praising God all together in one might not be something that we do fairly regularly. But what would drive a man to do this? Well, no doubt if you'd been lame for your life, 40 years, and you were suddenly healed, there would be this exuberance coming out of you as well, walking and leaping and praising God. If we were in this man's shoes, I'm pretty sure that most of us probably would have been doing the same thing. But what would cause us to walk and to leap and to praise God? Those of us, most of us can walk. Most of us haven't had what this man has had to go through. So let's look at this passage and see as well how we also might walk and leap and praise God. Well, I've split this into two sections because it really is two sections. Firstly, we have the sign or the miracle, and then the subsequent sermon that kind of builds on that miracle that God has given, that Jesus did through Peter and John. We have two sets of characters mainly. There are lots of characters here, but two sets of characters. First was Peter and John. Now, Peter and John were off to the temple. What were they going to do at the temple? We're not 100% sure. We're not told what they were going to do in the temple. But it's the hour of prayer, which seemed to be 3 hours of prayer at the temple at this time, early in the morning, in the afternoon, at about when they were going here, and also late in the evening before the sun set. These were times of prayer. At a couple of those times, there was also sacrifices being offered in the temple. But you've got to remember, the temple wasn't just the place where sacrifices were made, although that was a very important part of temple worship. But there were courts, large courts around the temple, where thousands of people gathered at certain times. And we've read last week when we read from chapter 2, we read in verse 46, day by day, these disciples and all the people that had come to believe in Jesus, day by day, they attended the temple together. What were they doing there? Well, we're not 100% sure, but no doubt they were praying. No doubt there was opportunities to tell others about Christ, but probably, primarily, there was teaching and preaching going on in these temple courts. And so Peter and John were off to the temple to tell others about the Lord. They're off to the temple to pray. They're off to the temple to preach, no doubt, as well. And so you see, as we make our way through the book of Acts, you'll notice that the temple is and remains an important part of the life of the early church, at least for some, especially for those in Jerusalem. Now, they didn't do the sacrifices there in the same way that the Jewish people were doing that didn't believe in Jesus, because, of course, the sacrifices were pointing ahead to Jesus, weren't they? And when Jesus had come, that was all finished. But we know later on, the Apostle Paul, he did some purification rites, and sometimes that required sacrifices, but it required a kind of a life around the temple. And so this is not strange that Peter and John were going to the temple. But on the way there, they met this man, this lame man. Now, this lame man, he's the second character, isn't he? Well, the second set of characters, because it was Peter and John. But the lame man, he's been carried to the temple, it seems, every day. He's been lame from birth. We know in the next chapter, he was lame. He was about 40 years old. And he's been lame from birth. Now, imagine that. Maybe some of your children can imagine that. Being lame, not being able to walk. You know, as you grow up, you see all your all the other boys or girls of your age running around and doing things boys and girls do, and going to school and doing all these wonderful things, running around through the streets and chasing dogs and all those kind of things. But you can't, and you can just watch them from the window. And you look at your feet, and they're wasted away. You know, a physiotherapist, which I visit every now and then, he told me that if you don't use certain muscles for a while, they start to decrease in size, right? They start to break down. And so you can imagine for 40 years, this man has not used his legs. So you can imagine what those legs look like. And this man had to live on the generosity of others. He was being carried every day into this to the temple, to the gate of the temple. He probably couldn't go into the temple, but he could at least stand at the gate sit at the gate. And there people would go past, and he was expecting, hopefully as people were going to the temple, that they would be generous, so they would give him some money. His greatest hope every day was that somebody might give him a little bit more than they might normally give, or that he had enough to go and buy some bread so that his stomach was actually filled for the day. You know, today, we struggle to imagine this, because today you don't really have people that are in this kind of predicament. You can go to to doctors, to physios and to physio pools and all kinds of things now. You know, they try and get some movement in your legs. We don't know exactly why this man couldn't walk, but try and get some movement in the legs, try and get some strength in the legs. You know, there are benefits from the government that you can be on, where you get some money and you can still live a bit of a normal life. We have wheelchairs. But this man had nothing. And so he sees Peter and John, just another lot of people walking, another couple of men walking into the temple. And he sticks out his arms and he says, will you give me some money? Or give me some bread to eat? Can you give me anything? Now, most people would just walk past, no doubt, or maybe throw a few coins or throw some bread to him. But Peter and John stand still. And they say, look at us. Now something special must be about to happen, right? You can imagine the lame man. Well, look at us, Peter said. So he looks up expecting something. I mean, maybe these people have been saving up some money for a while and they're going to give me a whole lot of money, or they've been baking some bread especially for this occasion. And so they want my attention. So he gives them, this lame man, gives them his attention. And did you hear what Peter said at the beginning? I have no silver or gold. Rats. What? You know, why do I have to look at you? I have no silver or gold. But what I do have, I give to you. What I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he takes them by the hand and pulls them up. What an incredible miracle that would be. 40 years, a legs that have been just, where are the muscles left in those legs? But in the name of Jesus Christ, he stands up and he walks. And by the way, that formula, in the name of Jesus Christ, is not some sort of magic formula. Now, if you say the right words, then then there's healing. Later on in the book of Acts, we read of these sons of Sceva. And these sons of Sceva, they thought that's how it worked. You know, if you just say, in the name of Jesus Christ, and then expel demons in that case, and at least expel the demons, then that'll happen, as long as it's in the name of Christ. And it didn't work. Because it's not a magic formula. The point is, you see, Jesus is speaking there. Jesus, by the word of Jesus, this man is able to rise up and walk. It's a powerful word. It's the same word that said right at the beginning of Genesis, let there be light. And there was light. You know, the word that created the world is the same word that comes now and speaks to this man. Rise up, walk. It's the power, you see, of the risen, the ascended, the reigning King, Jesus. He is in control. He is doing this miracle. For sure, Peter and John are his emissaries, are his servants. But they are merely speaking the word of Christ. It's in the name of Jesus he walks. And his walking is not a few gingerly steps. This man cannot contain himself. He walks, he leaps, he praises God. He goes into the temple like that, praising God. He doesn't care what other people think. You can imagine going into the temple with this man. You know, the place where, well, no doubt there was preaching going on there. No doubt there was prayer going on there. There were sacrifices, solemn priests walking around doing the things that priests do. And here is this man shouting out hallelujahs, jumping up and down. And he doesn't care what people think. And in the ruckus, people come. And they recognize this man. We've seen this guy before. Isn't that the guy that's been in the temple at the gates? We've passed him for the past 15, 20, 30, I don't know, years. Giving him money. Here he is, walking. It's amazing. So why give this story? We know this is only merely one of the stories that, one of the miracles that happened. Because in, again, chapter 2, verse 43, many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. So there were other signs and wonders being done. Why this one? Why have we been given this story? Well, the miracle itself was done for the sake of the man, because the man, you know, God had compassion on this man. He was able to walk. But it's a sermon, really, as Peter speaks to the crowd, that is at the heart of what Jesus is doing here. So let's look at the sermon secondly. Peter says, stop looking at us. It's not us. as I've already said, it's not us. We haven't made this man well. It's not our piety. We're just like you. We're fellow Jews like you. He talks about the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You know, we are fellow Jews, just like the rest here. We're just Jews. It's Jesus. It's Jesus that's made this man well. And notice throughout this passage, especially in the up to 11 through to 16, there's this great Christological kind of like, you know, he's glorifying who Jesus is. He's saying he's the suffering servant. He's the exalted Lord. He's the holy righteous one. He's the author of life. Later on, he talks about the great prophet. He is the great prophet that Moses was talking about. And Peter here tells them who Jesus is, and then he tells them what you thought of him, what these Jews thought of Jesus. You degraded and crucified him, but God glorified him. You saw him as guilty, but he was innocent. He is the holy and the righteous one, and you thought a murderer was better than him. He is the author of life, and you killed him. You thought him dead. God raised him. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. You thought him an imposter. He is the great prophet that Moses was talking about. You grumbled against him. He is the long-awaited one. For centuries and centuries, we've been waiting for this Messiah, and you wanted to get rid of him. Handed him over, but he's your deliverer. Has there ever been this gulf, this gap between what people thought of someone and who he actually was? You see, he's as it were, lifting up Christ and saying, this is really who Jesus is. It's not what you think about Jesus, but this is who he is. And then he gets back to, if I can say it, and then he points at them and he says, you were ignorant. Yes, you've sinned, but you're ignorant. Did you notice that in verse 17? I know that you acted out of ignorance. Now he's not saying, Peter is not saying there, you know, you didn't know, so don't worry about it. You didn't really know. You know, it would have been better if you knew, but you didn't. So, you know, let's just leave it. No, their sin was heinous. It was, they denied him. They despised him. They delivered him over. They'd rejected him. The one who had no fault, the one who was innocent. Sin is sin. This is what you did, he said. But repent. Return. He's telling them their ignorance was their spiritual blindness. Their ignorance was their spiritual deadness. Their ignorance was their spiritually, they were spiritually dried up. They were spiritually lame. This man was physically lame. They were spiritually lame. And I say that because this healing in the name of Jesus, notice in verse 20, he says, repent. When you repent, times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And also in verse 26, God, having raised up a servant, speaking about Jesus, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. You see, he's saying restoration, healing, health for your souls can be and is yours. This is what God promised would come. That's why we read from Isaiah chapter 35. In Isaiah 35, you have this great messianic age that is to come. Isaiah, many, many years before Jesus came, said there's this age that is coming when the lame will leap for joy, where the deaf will hear, where the weak will be strong, where there will be water in the wilderness. And he's not speaking about physical things. For sure, physical things happened as Jesus walked on earth, as he healed. But they were pointing to something deeper, spiritual. He's dealing with spiritual truth, and that is what was needed for Israel. Jesus, you see, has ushered in this messianic age. You don't need to sit and beg spiritually anymore. The Apostle Peter is saying, and Jesus is saying, you need to see the Lord, and you need to realize that He has come and He is healing your hearts and your souls. Yes, He has gone to heaven, but He has continued His work. And His promise is, you believe in my name. Or you, Peter would say, you believe in the name of Jesus Christ and your sins will be forgiven. Have faith in Him. And blessings will rain down. Blessings will rain down. Maybe some of you this morning don't know the Lord Jesus. Or you know about Him. You've heard His name often enough. And you've listened to people talk about Him. But do you really know Him? Do you have faith in Him? Do you trust Him completely? Not just go to church every now and then. Not just do, you know, just kind of bit of lip service. But truly believe in Him. Because you see, it is only in Jesus that you can have forgiveness of sins. It's not through church going. It's not through anything you do. It is through what He has done. He has done it all. And Peter is saying, trust Him. Believe in Him. This is the Jesus that we're talking about here. He's the author of life. He's the one who gives healing. He's the Holy One. He's the righteous one. Don't trust in yourself for forgiveness of sins. Don't trust in yourself for eternal life. Only in Him and what He has done. Because when you do, your soul will be healed. It'll be water in the wilderness. It'll be lameness turned to walking and leaping. Or maybe you found yourself in a bit of a spiritual hole. You're dark and cold to spiritual things. Maybe you professed faith long ago, many years ago, and you realize, you know, where was that? Where was the joy I had then? Where was the faith I had then? Because now I'm just coming and it's become a habit. It's just, I just come because, well, I come to church maybe because, well, you know, it's expected of me. After all, I should really be here. Because I don't know, maybe mum and dad, you know, have a few things to say, or maybe the elders will have some things to say. We've become spiritually cold, and it's so easy to walk down that road and that track. And Peter says here, you know, in many ways, we're like that lame man sitting beside the temple gate. There's no joy in life at all. There's nothing in life. And it requires, again, Jesus to come and to stand up and walk. Because you see, what we've done is we've taken our eyes off Jesus and we've started listening and putting our eyes on the things here below. In verse 22, we read about, it says, Moses said, the Lord will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. You see, what we end up doing when we're spiritually cold, what we've done is we've listened to all the voices of the world. We've listened to the voices on our phones. We've listened to the voices on the internet. We've listened to the voices in the newspaper, the voices of our work colleagues, of our neighbors, and all these people. And we've, as it were, bombarded ourselves with all these voices. And our eyes have been taken off Jesus and have started looking around here below. No wonder we're cold. No wonder we feel like a lame man, spiritually speaking. Peter says, look to him. Look to Jesus. Look at the author of life. Look at the holy and the righteous one. And turn from your sin and turn to him again. Turn to him. And others here, no doubt, love him and seek him and follow him and seek to listen to him. And God says to us again, in a sense, lift up your arms and ask for alms. Lift up your arms and ask for his mercy, because God in grace in the Lord Jesus pours out blessing on those who ask him, and those who love him, and those who receive him. You know, sometimes it's difficult to ask. When you ask, kind of there's a sense where you never know what you're going to get. Been praying a bit over the last month, Lord, show me my need. It's a little bit like the prayer, you know, Lord, show me my sin. Talking about that a few weeks ago. And when you ask, Lord, show me my sin, it's one of those, it's a bit of a dangerous prayer, really, isn't it? Because God answers prayers like that, and it's not a pleasant thing. And Lord, show me my need. And God answers, and it's painful. And he's put me in places that I just don't want to be. But we're begging, aren't we? We're lifting up our hands and our arms, and we're saying, Lord, give us what you have. Because we know it is good. It might not be silver or gold. Generally, it's not. And just as well. But it's good. It's good. Let us seek the Lord and seek to serve him and honor him. And then when we taste of his goodness, as we see the Lord Jesus, taste of his goodness, we will indeed walk and leap and praise God. Might not be seeing many people doing that physically this morning, but our hearts will be full of joy and delight because we've met a Savior who gives us all we need. Let us pray. Our gracious Father and good, good God, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his love and his mercy and his care. We thank you that he is king. He rules and he reigns. He is the king of glory. And we pray, our gracious Father, that all here who are listening this morning, Lord, that we might indeed find the streams of refreshment, that we indeed, those of us who are spiritually lame, would rise up as we see our Savior, as we hear his voice leaping, that we might end up leaping, praising God. Lord, if there are any who need encouragement this morning, would you grant them that to them, and those who need you, maybe for the first time. Lord, would you this morning work in such a way that people are completely changed for the glory of your holy name? We ask. Amen.